and welcome. I'm your host, Mitch Spong. My co-host, Dan Ford. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Not really. We're deceit. I'm so used to saying that. Like, well, yeah, I'm just doing fantastic. Yeah. Well, it's the reason why this show's coming out a little bit later is I've had the diseases. I've been in bed for like 3 days full of fluids. And
I heard the flu is like killing people.
Well, yeah, everybody's dying.
This is my biggest fear. Like, I think more people are dying from the flu than
the flu's fucked up right now.
I haven't got it because I don't interact with it. This is why you steal yourself.
You're a bartender.
I work in the restaurant.
That means you always are looking.
Well, yeah, but that's for like really 5 hours. And most of the other time, I'm holed up in my apartment.
5 hours a day going to different tables, talking to people.
But you're not.
This is literally how everyone gets the flu.
Yeah, maybe I'm just lucky. I think though, my key, you just don't go anywhere and you play video games. February is really depressing. That's the
why is Black History Month got to be depressing?
Well, it's really dark. No, February is. That's always when it's the Black History. Like Black History Month, should be, in my opinion. Like February is like the worst. It was like the most racist month to pick because like everyone hates February. It's short. It's usually cold. It's dark most of the day. Fuck thing. Worst month. No one for the Winter Olympics.
I am really not a big fan of March.
Well, March is my birthday.
Yeah. See again. I really don't like March. But like.
You get March Madness, St. Patrick's Day, sometimes Easter. Those are three of the best holidays.
I don't like St. Patrick's Day because I don't like drinking on a day where like the whole thing of the day is let's all drink. I don't like that.
Used to get WrestleMania.
I don't like March because...
And uncensored.
You'll get like one or two like really warm days and then it'll go back to being freezing cold.
I don't know about this year. It's the 70s today here in beautiful. It looks like spring's here. It's ready to fall.
I just hate being teased. I want that warmth so I can. That's really what it's all about. I just want to go swimming.
Speaking of ready to fuck, let's move on. Let's just we're gonna devote this whole little block. The trade deals we were gonna talk about last week. Apparently, we're gonna talk a little bit of All Star Saturday. We're recording during the All Star game, watching a live performance from the Migos. I don't know who that is. Pretty popular. And one of their members, P game with a celebrity, Quavo. Former Gwinnett County or something high school football.
Migos are all Atlanta guys, right?
Yeah, they make trap music. Like one has a gold chain and it's got like a little trap house you can like open up, almost like a mini dollhouse. Whereas around it's all gold, little trap house. They're very Atlanta.
I mean, that pickup truck looks pretty cool.
It's fun. But let's talk. What are you gonna talk first? Trades?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do that.
Well,
let's go trade.
The only trade that we did. There was some other stuff. All these were mostly the most part. I think my Hawks traded for two players, and I think there were a couple of others. There was the deal that sent, what's the kid from Denver? Was it Amuie to New York? That's not one. We're going to talk.
Yeah, it's two teams going nowhere.
And we're going to talk about this game now with some examples of how it's going to work, a court day. I kind of feel the same way I did when it happened. It was a great trade. Worked really well for Cleveland. Probably the best they would have done and was to get this.
Yeah, this is what I don't get about, like, Bill Simmons' mind. It's like, why is everybody saying nice things about this stuff? They had Kyrie Irving. They ended up with what they, you know, they ended up with these players who aren't as good. They basically traded Kyrie Irving for this. Why is everybody?
No, well, the other thing is too, we don't know if they traded Kyrie. We don't know what the Brooklyn picks the number one pick. It might be worth it. I've got
who knows?
An unhappy player with maybe bad knee.
I mean, here's the whole context when you have to talk about the Cavs. And here's what it all comes back to. The owner, you know, Dan Gilbert being a cheap-ass asshole.
No, well, to be fair, he went and won the trade. Because
I don't care about that.
I think there's a bigger point to why he would rather keep LeBron happy than give a shit about what Kyrie Irving.
He has been a cheap asshole with every GM he's ever had. And his being a cheap asshole lost Chris Grant. And the moment you lost Chris Grant, you lost Kyrie.
No, it was David Griffin. Well, David Griffin was the one who put together a championship.
Okay.
I think he drafted. I don't know if he's in the front office or what, but he knew Kyrie.
Sure. Okay. That was the whoever it was. Once you lost, like, Kyrie's guy in the, like, you put yourself in this totally unnecessarily. It's not like, you got to have a GM. Dan Gilbert thinks he's some super basketball genius and him and LeBron can, between the two of them, put a roster together, but obviously not. And, losing out on Kyrie like that for no reason. There was no reason to lose Kyrie's guy. They did that and they lost Kyrie. And then that put him in a position where, look, like LeBron's thing of like, well, just don't trade him. Like, just because he asks for it doesn't mean you do it. Well, if we're going to have like a whole scene of Kyrie and LeBron like being angry and pouty with each other, Then you're not winning anything.
Well, and especially, and maybe more importantly, LeBron's still the player option, more likely. My big thing was, like, why would you use LeBron for Kyrie? What is it if he left the Cavs, that franchise value would drop by, like, half of them?
Yeah, $500 million.
And that's why I like this. It helps you keep LeBron a little bit more. And that's all that matters, because that's the asset that makes your business worth it. Everyone else
and if he's
champions or stats, it's about money here. And LeBron especially, James, when you want to sell the team, especially LeBron James is going to net you a lot more money than he would if he left, you know? That's why you keep, he's the asset that's worth it. That's why you keep him happy. That's why you say, fuck you, Kyrie, because you get so much more money with LeBron. And it's a business. You got to look at this as more like a business, like a basketball.
Although especially if you're Dan Gilbert and you're looking to sell the team. If you're looking to sell the team, the only thing that matters is making sure LeBron James signs like a 3-year contract.
Yeah, because if he stays for another year, you're not going to get full value. Everyone knows in the back of their mind you might go, but they're going to get a little more scared about who's going to jump on this opportunity first. So like, the goal is keeping LeBron. It's all worth it. I think I made the argument since I'm about Clarkson's contract, and he makes like $10 million a year. I'm just like, well, if he helps keep LeBron in any way, it's worth it 100% because of what that he does to your franchises and why you do. So, and like, but, I think on the court, a lot of sense. They got way more athletic. I think they're way better. They can switch more. Are they going to beat the Warriors? Probably not. But do they have a better chance? Yeah, because make the finals. I think David Thorpe said that. Their chances of making the finals are better now, so their chances of beating the Warriors are better just by beating.
And it all sort of comes back to whoever's decision it was to bring in all these old guys this offseason. That dude needs to never work again. Like, whatever guy looked at LeBron James and said, you know what we need to surround him with? Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade. That's who we need. That's who we need to put around LeBron James. Whoever came up with that, it should never work in basketball.
Well, some of that was because
I
have
a feeling. I have a feeling that was the owner because he doesn't know anybody. He's not a basketball savvy guy, and he just did a bunch of names. And he's like, these guys are veteran leadership. These guys are veteran leaders.
Well, and they didn't have any cap room. That was the big thing that no one. It's not like Dwayne Wade was like making. That's why they were there. They just had. It was going to be scrubs playing regardless. They're scrubs.
Athletic scrubs are better than guys who are just.
Yeah, guys who might.
Rose should not be playing professional basketball. Like, he's not a professional basketball.
If you could have kept D-Wade, you probably didn't hurt having him. But I think they knew he wasn't going to play a lot. He wanted to get traded.
D-Wade, if he was on a team full of young guys where he could take off and be in, like, the spot LeBron's in, I think that team could make a playoffs.
Yeah, and we'll see.
You can't have Dwayne and LeBron.
Yeah, we'll see how things kind of work. I thought that was the other big gifting Wade, like kind of where he wanted to go back home. That's a smart move.
That's a smart move for public with people around
him. People, and like that is a pretty, regardless of how you feel, I don't know if that was more Dan Gilbert or the Jim Kobe. That was a good move by Kobe. That's how you tell free agents, hey, worst case happens, we're still going to take care of you. We're not going to treat you like, you know. Because even Isaiah, like, they traded him to the Lakers. They sent him to way worse places. You know, they could have sent his ass to Memphis. So, they're worse
places
to be.
How dare you talk about Memphis? How dare you talk about Memphis that way?
You're not good. And I think he was griffling. But I will say, throughout all these trades, I ended up feeling kind of bad for him.
I don't feel bad for him all.
Here's why.
I feel bad for Jay Crowder.
Well, Jay Crowder's issue was he plays the same position as LeBron. He wasn't going to play to his strengths. Jay Crowder can't play to what makes him good. He's not.
But I also think the issue with Jay Crowder is that, like, Isaiah Thomas poisoned for him because Isaiah Thomas spent every moment talking about how everything was better in Boston. And Jay Crowder got lumped in with him
Jay Crowder
by being one of those
shade.
Boston guys.
Yeah, I think the other thing from Brad Stevens to Tyronn Lue, it's kind of like when you switch jobs, Dan. You went from a company that's really well structured, run great.
Yeah, but how well run was it? Cleveland beat their ass in the playoffs every time they played them.
Like, yeah, but like they also were playing like 5'9" point guard in the finals. That Cleveland, Boston's been very good. The players, like you had Al Horford, like your best player. So if he's your best player,
look,
you ain't doing.
There's something okay. There's something like malfunction. There is a lack of common. There is a basic lack of when you go from a team that has never won anything in the playoffs, like that Brad Stevens Boston Celtics has never won anything of note, and you get traded to the team that's won the Eastern Conference like 3 years in a row and has won an NBA title and is the only team that's beaten Golden State. And then you start telling everybody, man, y'all don't know what you're doing here. We do things much better at our old place.
I think a lot of that,
like, that is a sign that you're a moron.
Well, part, to me, part of that, too, is part of the bad personality that Isaiah will be there the whole time.
Like, Isaiah's not a good personality fit on any team if you say shit like that.
Well, yeah, but also with all those, because Isaiah, you gotta remember how small this guy is. 5'9", 5'10". If he doesn't...
He's 5'9 in the book, so that means he's 5'7 in real life.
So let's say he's got to have a chip on his shoulder, kind of have to have that attitude, Isaiah.
Yeah, but there's a line.
No, well, that's when he went to a better organization. That's the other issue with Evelyn, is it's not a well-run team.
It's just,
they pulled off a good trade for their history. This is not a very well. They won one championship.
You can't...
Pure determination, let's be honest. It's not, compared to how Boston...
Cleveland's won what much more than Boston.
Not, I mean, in the past 20 years, won what?
They've won way more games than Boston has over 20. Boston has one title, Cleveland has one title.
Yeah, but Cleveland
but
only
like head to head, LeBron.
But the only reason Cleveland has a title is LeBron James is from Akron. If he was from Indiana, he never would have gone.
The only reason Boston has a title is because Kevin McHale was the GM of Minnesota and gave them Kevin Garnett.
But Dan,
song.
Boston,
Boston would have never won a title if Kevin McHale didn't give them Kevin Garnett.
They're still much better running. Even when
are
Boston
they?
Was winning,
what have they won?
Even the
what
Paul
have they
Pierce
won?
Era.
What, they didn't
what
win
was Cleveland? Where was Cleveland before LeBron? James?
LeBron beat them every year. Like
well, no,
LeBron beat Paul Pierce like a rented.
Dan, he didn't. That's why he went to.
He did. Paul Pierce didn't beat him. Kevin Garnett showed up.
Well, still, he never. That's why he left.
Paul Pierce never won a thing.
No,
in his life.
You know what, Dan? We'll talk about
until
Paul Pierce.
Kevin Garnett and Rajon Rondo showed up.
I want to talk about the truth is Boston's better run. That's dumb if you think
they're not. What have they won?
What has Cleveland won?
Cleveland's got a title, and they've won the Eastern Conference Finals like a billion times.
Boston a title in the past, and Cleveland would have a title if LeBron
but
James.
That Boston thing, it
but
comes
Dan,
across as so
Dan,
fluky. Because as soon as
Cleveland
it was over, as soon as that title was over, they just got their ass beat every year by LeBron. They got like one year.
No, well, they didn't. They went back to the... But here's the other issue. Cleveland just got lucky that the best player ever did that. And how many titles have they won with the best player of this generation? How many has Cleveland won with the best player maybe the next in the past? One. They got lucky.
I'm not,
was from Ohio. That's all. They didn't do anything to earn that chance. It's pure luck. They're like
they convinced him to come back.
Brothers, the shirts.
What has Boston done?
They won a title?
Like, if you were sitting here comparing, if you were sitting here comparing the Cavs to, the Spurs, I'm with you.
Well, I mean, Brad.
But you're comparing them to Boston.
Okay, here's what Boston does: they don't fire their coach every year. Their owner is a constant in the headlines, writing ransom. I mean,
If you bring in LeBron James, you don't need a coach.
I'm saying
you don't.
They draft better. Like, look at the moves Cleveland made before LeBron left the first.
Do they? Who has Boston drafted that has made their?
I mean, Jaylen Brown is pretty good. Tatum looks like he's going to be very good.
Boston, what Boston does is they amass asset by ripping off dumbass teams.
They drafted Jay Crowder, your boy.
Who's not good?
He was good for them.
He didn't win him a title. He didn't win anything.
Dan and Mike and Mike. Winning a title in the NBA is cool.
But like Jay Crowder is like a nice player.
But let's not make titles be all in.
But Jay Crowder is not like a guy who's
he's still a nice like there's still
he's
a
role
well run or you know what they didn't do? They didn't have the first overall pick and took Anthony. Who wasn't even on anyone's radar. That's what Cleveland did. They took a guy number one, who most teams have taken until the second round.
I mean, now you're bringing up stuff from 10 years ago.
That wasn't. That's
that was like 2009, like 2008. That was like 2008. We're marching into death. I'm sorry, man. That was 10 years.
It's still the same guy owning it. They're still a poorly run or like Cleveland historically is a very.
But like Boston doesn't get good players either.
They do.
Like what? They don't draft great players. They don't. They draft decent players, and then they flip them to stupid teams.
Well, that's what they do, and it works.
But it doesn't, because they never win
they
anything that matters.
They would have
won one title.
They
won one
two.
Title.
They ran into Kobe, the other greatest player of all time.
Kobe Bryant's not the great.
Well,
Kobe Bryant's not even in the top 20.
In this generation.
Kobe Bryant is not even a top 20 player
okay,
of all
Dan,
time.
Okay, Dan, go tell an NBA player that.
I mean, I don't
Do you know
care.
More about basketball than... That's what I'm asking.
Look,
you know more about Boston.
If they think Kobe's a top 20 player, then yeah, I guess.
Well, that's stupid. Kobe was.
He wasn't.
You can't just remember. Oh,
he's
he
a,
won
he's
how
a
many
guy?
Titles?
Shaq! You could put Penny Hardaway was an all-star playing the Shaq.
No,
and
he won
when Shaq left, nobody heard of him
I think
ever
you
again.
Forget when,
with Paul Gasol, who was one of the five best players.
You think Paul Gasol, okay, that's, I see why you haven't seen it.
Yes.
Makes a lot of sense.
The Boston
if you give, if you give Kobe Bryant one of the five best players and win you a title.
Kobe Bryant was a player. I don't think he went MVP without being a pretty damn good. Would not being one of
MVP
the
MVP means nothing. Steve Nash won like three of them.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not comparing Kobe guys from the... Because, like, most of those guys from the 50s couldn't ball in the 2000s. Let's not pretend like Wilt Chamberlain would be all that good. What?
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying Kobe Bryant is a guy.
And let's not pretend one of the Jordan luckiest, would be good if you're for steroids.
Kobe Bryant is one of the luckiest players of all time just based on who he got to play with.
He's still one of the best.
If he did not get the guys he got to play with, he would be remembered as a shoot-first guy who never won anything.
Well, he's Derek Jeter. What's wrong
I mean,
with
but
that?
He's not LeBron.
No.
He's not Steph Curry. He's not Kevin Durant.
Well, he's still won more titles than all of us.
Well, hoop-de-doo.
And more than
he got to play with Shaquille O'Neal. He should have won like seven with Shaq.
Well, let's not
but because
like
he
Shaq's
couldn't
needed.
Make that work.
Also, well,
because
it's not like
he
Shaq
thought
needed.
He was a more important player than Shaquille O'Neal.
No, well, damn.
That got
too.
Divorced.
Also,
and he lost out on like three titles he should have won.
No, you know what the other issue there too? Shaq's kind of a dick. Don't watch.
He is.
Don't pretend like
he
Shaq's
is.
A guy. He
He's
had
not.
Issues with
Shaq's
Penny
a,
in Orlando.
Shaq's a dick.
This happened.
But Shaq was. But Shaq was the most valuable player, maybe. There may not be a single
also,
player who was more valuable in the
left,
history
man,
of the NBA.
By the time he left, they were wrong, but there was talk that Shaq with this big toe cut off because of how bad it was and how much he got hurt. He wouldn't have been very good without his right. It's just something you kind of need to play basketball. So
I mean,
the Lakers didn't
Shaq
just
went to Miami and immediately made
No, but also, Shaq also got... Shaq's pretty lucky. He got to play alongside... Kobe Bryant was the best
person. I mean, when he was playing with Dwayne Wade wasn't Dwayne Wade.
Well, once he
Dwayne Wade
out
was young boy. Like Dwayne Wade was young boy Dwayne. He wasn't like Dwayne Wade.
He's better Dwayne Wade.
No, the Dwayne Wade like a few years after Shaq was the best Dwayne. Like that Dwayne Wade was like a one man killing machine.
I feel like they wouldn't have won the finals without you.
I mean, when you're a two man team, yeah, you need both of them to be.
But
good.
You couldn't have won it with like Shaq and Steve Nash wouldn't have ever worked.
Well, no, that never made
didn't.
Sense, which is why Phoenix was retarded.
Like, Cleveland was, because didn't they trade for Shaq?
See, no, the Cleveland-LeBron thing made more sense, because it's like, those Cleveland teams were not, like, fast-paced, up and down the court, run and gun. Like, they didn't play that way. So, I could see a team in the Cavs' position being like, you know, we play a much slower style. Maybe Shaq has a little bit more in the tank that he's not showing because he just didn't fit in Phoenix.
That was the other dumb thing with that. You've got a 6-foot-8 guy who can run as a gazelle, and you just want to slow it down.
Well, I mean, that's how they won their title too. Like,
what? Cleveland
I mean, won that
well,
title by slowing
title
Golden State
Steph
down. There's a million excuses. No, they did it because they locked them down.
Well, part of it
they played crazy good defense
with,
that season.
Well, part of it too was my main issue. The Warriors is like. Steph Curry's got bad ankles. Like, that just don't go away. I will always think that's why they lost the finals, because his ankles suck. That's probably why you don't end up running Steph Curry in the top five. We'll betray him.
You can't look into the future. You can't, you know, we don't have crystal balls. But,
I do. It ain't pretty. It's just Steph Curry playing three games and Kevin
Durant. Kevin Durant wasn't on the team.
No, that's what it'll be when I look at the crystal ball. Kevin Durant will be like, he'll probably join Scientology. If I had to bank on anything, Kevin Durant. Or whatever this.
Yeah, he'll go live on Peter. Well, no, Peter Thiel's leaving.
Yeah, he's going to LA, baby.
He's one step closer to that floating barge city.
We gotta.
Which is basic. Did you ever play the? Did you ever play those games, BioShock?
No, but I know it was like all.
Yeah, I mean, basically, every time I hear about Peter Thiel's barge, I think about BioShock.
I think of that Arrested like Job had the city that sold water. I think he called it like Fuck City.
I don't think he called it Fuck City. That
was for singles. Something like calling Fuck City. Kevin Durant, though, will probably be like sucking 13 or whatever those silicon. But damn, we got to hop on that Peter Thiel money. Like, maybe it's time for us to go all right. Cash out.
It's hard to nail down. Well, no, Peter Thiel's not alt-right. He's not. He thinks
like,
everyone's
like,
beneath
do
him.
Do we have to pretend to like Rick and me? Because
the thing about Peter Thiel is he also thinks white people are garbage. Like, he doesn't believe in anybody except, like, the maker.
And, like, robots, right? He's a big robots guy.
Yeah.
I don't like robots. That's me. That's probably his.
It's all like, who's John Galt? Makers and takers, and you are all takers. You just don't understand my genius. And it's like, the guy's rich because, like, came up with, like, PayPal. Like, Like, whoop-de-fucking-do.
He just
like,
did. He just was quicker at the credit card bank.
Like, everybody, like, somebody was, like, you're not some, like, brilliant super genius.
It's like the guy who in Fire, like, bragged. Anybody could have had lightning.
Like, somebody was going to come up. I guarantee you there was, like, four other companies like PayPal. And they.
Or how about with Fire? Four other Fire. We're all screwed. Like, forgot where I was going with that. But back
and then
to the
he, and then he invested in Face. Great. Thanks.
Maybe we should just see if we can hop on that. We could be like the libertarian. Does he like sports? We're probably out.
No, because that's that allows intellectual inferiors that they're superior in some way.
Well, they are.
Because they have physical prowess.
This is the thing like smart people don't get. It's like, yes, this guy is like retarded, but 6'7", he can still crush your head with a rock. Like, what's your brain going to do then? Nothing. Can't.
It would just be so funny to me if Peter Thiel got mugged and shot to death on, like, the side of the street.
Like, that's got to be the kid's life.
Like, if Peter Thiel just got mugged by, like, the guy, some, like, random homeless dude. Yeah. And the guy just, like, stabbed him in the chest and he died. And then that was the end of Peter Thiel.
That's how all powerful. Just, like, some schizophrenic guy who, like, pisses in a Pepsi bottle. And, like, talks to murders you.
Like the guys in New York who, like, if you come to, like, a stop at an intersection, they just, like, take, like, a filthy rag and go, I'll clean your window!
Yeah,
and
like, just, like, spongy town, homeless.
They just, like, they just ruin your windshield by, like, just putting this filthy, like, shit-covered rag over your windshield. And Peter Thiel gets out of his car to, like, accost him, and then the guy just stabs him.
And yells about Ronald Reagan. So, yeah. Well, damn, what if that's what death is, schizophrenic? Like, everyone's always like, you don't know. And I'm like, well, no, I know they're. But, like, what if death was a schizophrenic homeless man? Like, that's how you die. He's in your house. It's the last thing every person needs is spongy.
Just shambling towards.
Yeah. I like that concept. A new, the fresh, hot, woke.
See, I'm still partial to, like, that, what's that Ingrid Bergman movie where the guy plays chess with death?
That sounds.
And then the end of it is, like, like him and his whole household are like doing the dance of death.
Is it better than Searching for Bobby Fish?
I've not seen that.
That's the best.
It's not better than The Thin Man, if that's what
you. I'm just. What was the best chess?
Chess.
Why? How has it not been like a bad comedy?
Because nobody gives a shit about it.
Well, like Adam does. Because
they don't understand.
But like he's really good. Because like Adam Sandler, like is always.
Because he already did that movie. It was called. What's the one? Happy Gilmore. He's already done.
Oh
that movie.
Yeah.
He can't do that movie twice.
Well, it was a hockey. It's like that's the key to like any of those like Adam Sandler joints is like all those guys are because like what's the one with like Rob Schneider, John Lovitz, Napoleon Dynamite.
I don't think John Lovitz isn't in that game.
It's not, but he was in this.
Oh,
because this was like the Sandler. It was like Schneider, Spade, Napoleon Dynamite, Kid Lovitz, and they play like a base. I think it's like they played baseball against. But Schneider's like made out to be almost badass.
Well, I love how they always do that with Kevin James and see Kevin James and what he looks.
What
like, can look at him?
Who?
Like he is not
seen,
a jock.
Have you ever seen anything from the Grown Ups franchise? I haven't. I've not seen a minute.
No, I do remember when Kevin James did the MMA when like the big UFC boom, the big UFC fad boom. Before it leveled off a little bit.
Didn't it, like, come out, like, way after the issue?
It was just far enough out that, like, stream had, like, sort of gone, all right, like, yeah, people do the fight.
MMA never does well, because, like, there have been a few, like, MMA movies never do. Like, not even to, like, the level of, like, a, they don't even make, like, 20. Like, what's the last
MMA
movie?
There's too much. I think it's because there's too much stuff that can
happen. That
also, and like, it's not telegenic two guys grappling.
Yeah.
It's not photogenic.
Well, they can even do it with women. I think it's just, like, MMA people, like, don't pay. Like, they'll pay for, like, $1,000 pay for the most. They're known as, like, the worst in the restaurant. That's why you never want to work at a place that shows you, because they'll order, like, a Diet Coke.
God, at least order a beer.
Or, like, one beer. It's always, like, something like that, and they tip you, like, what you should tip, that's all you had, but it's, like, you just took up their spot, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just took up, like, a chance for them to sat in there one
day. See, that's why I hate watching sporting events in a bar, because that's all I think about is that, oh, man, I've been sitting in this seat for, like, 4 hours. So I either, like, self-consciously end up getting up before the sporting event, which means I don't see the end of the sporting event, which, okay, that sucks. Or I end up, like, just buying food I don't want.
No, you just get really drunk.
Well, no, if I gotta drive, I can't do that. Well, so what I'll end up doing, just end up, like, buying, like, a shit ton of food I absolutely did not want. Just to drive my own bill up. So it's like, okay,
well,
yeah, I did order stuff.
You could just tip more at the end. Like, instead of making yourself fatter and spending money on food, you could just throw an extra $10.
I see that never occurred to me.
Because then you're not making them any work. It's like a nice, okay, yeah.
But see, I always end up like tipping like 35, 40%.
Yeah, so just tip extra and don't.
I just never thought of it.
Little life key.
But then I would, I'm so bad at math, I wouldn't know how much money
you just said. If you say, I'm going to tip 10, just commit to it.
I mean, that makes sense now that you say it. I'm not going to lie.
The advantage there is less. It's good for your health because you're not. You probably save money because you're not tipping on top of that. And like they don't have to do work. They cannot work. Like if I please sit down at the table and say, "Hey, we're gonna be here a while. We know we're taking a spot. We'll tip you well. Just don't worry. Those are the best people. That's all you can ask for. The service center is someone who just says, "I'm good. Just leave me alone. Those are the best people."
Well, I mean, yeah. In retrospect, that all makes sense.
Yeah, I think. Well, now you know. That's what life's all about.
It's about learning, sharing,
and that's what this podcast is about.
This is really an educational.
Yeah, because like really, but you know what? I even talk about the Winter Olympics. You watching? I'm all in.
I have a job. See, this is the other reason why the Winter Olympics sucks, because it's on in the winter when everybody's having to work, and it's like in the summer.
But it's
like it's like the thing with the World Cup, where in the summertime, like everybody's kind of like going half-assed anyway. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, put the World Cup on or put the Summer Olympics on, and we'll have it on in the background. Whereas during the winter, like, you're actually having to do shit. Like, you're expected to work.
Well, like, but this year, though, because the Korean time difference is 2 hours ahead. So it tends to match up well with prime time. You're still getting your figure skating. And now, if you're like me and you're, like, up at 5 of them, that sport's on right there for you. Always. So it's been pretty. You've been missing on some hot curling and figure skating.
I just don't care about. I don't. See, the other thing about the Winter Olympics, it's full of sports where there's no real objective winner. It's all like, a judge said you did a good spin.
Or it's like timed. But I am getting to the biathlon, which is just like a finished military exercise. It's like you just cross-country ski, then she
sports. It's basically just like, this is how we find out who's the star in the next James Bond movie.
Yeah. But like, I tend to like stuff. Like, everybody talks about currently. Like, that's the. Let's not harp on that one too much. But I like all. It's like never would. It's like the skiing thing. What's the slaloms? It looks like it just tears up your. I don't understand like why people do that on a sport, but I'll watch it every time. Snowboarding. Who knew that was? That's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun with the Winter Olympics. I think it's going pretty smoothly. It's nice to see the Olympics.
It's not. I mean, it's not in a third world country like Russia, of course.
Yeah. Well, and
of course it's going better.
Brazil.
It's in a place that has a government.
It's
so
in.
That's,
you know,
that's
it's
always
in,
a good step.
In like Southeast Asia for the whatever that is for the next like 3 Olympiads. Because I think the summer's in Tokyo and the next winter is like in China.
We've already seen how. Yeah, they're having to import all this. I did hear about that because it's not really cold enough.
It was in Beijing. It was a pretty good
day. Oh, yeah. I just don't know how. Like, they're going to have to spend a shit ton of money to make China into a place where you
can. Yeah, but
that's just the thing.
They'll probably make it. I mean, China's.
We're pro-China.
Yeah, we're
all
selling. I'm selling out to China 100%. I don't care.
Look, I've always been a big fan of the Little Red Book.
I love General T'Sal, my boy. I love Jackie Chan. Oh, he's from Hong Kong. Is that Tibet or Hong Kong? What could we.
Okay, Hong Kong is part of China now.
Okay, but like they don't want it. It's like
when he was born. Well, I don't know if he's from Hong Kong.
But is it Tibet? You can't like you're talking about.
Yeah, don't talk about Tibet. Tibet is the center of like, and like China annexed it, and they have like issues. Yeah. Although I think their issues aren't what they used to be because China is less like hardcore about the whole communism thing. So like,
yeah, China got fat
and
happy.
Yeah, China got fat and happy and stopped the dogma. Related to communism, where like you have to be an atheist and all this stuff. They're like, nah, y'all, yeah, whatever.
He's got money, he gives them. We're just gonna fuck and do drugs. It's been pretty cool. So yeah, I'm totally embracing. Because also they don't believe in dogma, capitalism, communism. Who cares if it works?
And look, they probably are saving us from nuclear catastrophe. So go
yeah.
China.
So I don't know any manner. Wei Jin.
Did you just call them all whores or something?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what language was. But I think the Winter Olympics there will be pretty fun. I think Tokyo is going to be. Tokyo is like low key more brutal. Like what is it? Like 90% of their guilt pleas come from confessions where they just beat the fuck out of you for like 20 minutes.
Oh, and like everybody's constantly getting raped. And
yeah, it's like real bad. Like, I think I'd rather be in China.
Like, Japan is one of those countries where they brag about how low their percentage of people who have, like, oh, we don't have rape like you do in America. And then you find it out, it's just like, oh, no one, like, every woman is terrified to admit anything.
Yeah. Well, and they have, what is it, the Japanese men, they have tentacles come out of their crotch?
I don't think that's how, the Japanese, like,
reproductive.
If that's what you're asking.
Okay, because I don't think they come out. They have like a, they're like Doc Ock, like a monitor.
I really think you've been like on the X-Vitch.
That's with my boy Kurt Usher. Some interesting drawing.
What's his name?
Kurt Usherwald?
He's Eggman.
He will always be Mr. Epilepsy.
He's the original Abby A, with like his quote-unquote wife showing up on his Twitter to let everybody know that they're in serious
trouble.
But
they did. Like, the funniest part was he did have a... He's that big. Like, yeah, I would be really mean. Like, he really... It's like when we'll top the guy and see guys. He broke his collarbone, and, like, we all did. Like, who breaks their collarbone? Kidding, tabletop. That's when you know what that is, like, you get behind somebody.
I do not know what that is.
Okay, you know when you get behind somebody, like, on fours, and he's on, and your friend comes over and, like, pushes them over?
Sure.
They fall down, he laughs. This kid, like, broke his collarbone, so.
Well, if he'd already broken his collarbone once, he'd need to break it again.
Maybe, but it's still pretty lame. It's like getting it from a gift. Just like, even though you're the victim here, like...
Also, you're Kurt Eichen.
Yeah, like, and like a low-key, like, kind of a pedophile, allegedly.
He did, like, a story on pedophiles. It seemed like he was way too...
Yeah.
That's all... I don't want to get...
He went all in.
I mean, we do have Mike, but...
No, I think of getting sued would be wondrous. That's been the goal of this podcast from day one. It's the best press, baby. Best press.
Sure. That did wonders for Gawker.
Well, did it, but all those people have jobs.
Gawker always got every job. Like, that was the deal with Gawker. You went there, you worked there.
I know, but, like,
everybody saw your work.
And then even, like, AJ, doesn't he have a job like a...
No, I don't think AJ has a job. I think he's the guy who got ruined.
He was the one. Okay, well, let me call him. We'll be, like, we'll move on to, like, Peter Thal's side. We'll get a lot more rate. Did you see the weird, just kind of doing this, did you see the weird controversy with Barstool this weekend? And Michael Rapaport? Something, I don't know if it was like your classic, like, kayfabe, or Howard bullshit, or if it was real, but it was something weird where, like, it got really personal, and all the,
they're
all
just,
the quote-unquote were very upset.
The Chomp and Chapo's style, if they're going after Rapaport.
Well, they started.
The whole style's Chomp.
Pardon my take, because he had, like, a weird story about like, a bunch of exterminator came, and, like, and put all the food in the wrong place. So he came back and, like, his fountain was a little dead cat when he got back from... Because, like, he'd put the poison, like, where could get it or something. So all the neighborhood cats, like, were murdered by the Terminator. And he comes home and there's just 3 dead cats. And he has to, like, quickly get out of there. That's the Michael Rapaport I've seen.
So he's fighting with the Barstool
people. Barstool. I don't know, like, what... I don't know if they...
Is he
like
fighting with, like... Is he fighting with the people at Barstool that anybody gives a shit about? Or is Smitty? This just more shit with the owner?
Smitty?
Okay, nobody knows who that is.
The Stoolies do. They're very passionate. Barstool,
yeah, but those
is
people,
the new
like, those people
Stern,
are losers.
Right?
Like, those people are, like, worthless
losers.
Well,
they're like, starting things.
Pretty much. I mean... The people that anybody's heard of are like Big Cat and PFT. The rest of them are just a bunch of losers like riding their coattails, including the dumbass frat boy owner.
And 100%, we would love to ride those. No, I like Trill Withers at Tyler I Am. The mixtape. It's similar to this show where it's supposed to be about sports and they're debating like cereal for an hour. Which I think he says it's like 10% about that, 80% about whatever else.
That just sounds like the Basketball Friends.
That this is also
now we're just telling our listeners like what other podcasts.
This is. These are much better. I do enjoy the basketball. A little breaking news, Dan. The All-Star Game.
So
a little breaking news. And speaking of LeBron, let's the big story with our best manufactured media hour this week. That's your girl, Laura Ingraham.
I think it just sort of shows like the kind of bubble that she's in, where she thought that's the person she should pick on.
Yeah, because it's like the worst.
And that it wouldn't just like blow up in her face immediately.
Yeah, because like this wasn't like some dumb. This was like the athlete with one of the best brands, but also like the most. Like, he is truly the cerebral assassin.
Now here's the thing. Richard Sherman is probably smarter than Ron because he does have like a Stanford degree.
Yeah.
And doesn't he have a master's? Like, hasn't he gotten a master's?
He's more book smart. But, like, LeBron is very, just by the way.
But, like, Richard Sherman is a guy where he's easy to go after. Football players don't really have a brain. So it's, always go after football players. Because nobody really knows all that well, except, like, Tom Brady.
Or the fans. LeBron, like, there are people who just root for
like,
LeBron.
LeBron James is the most famous athlete in the world. And he's, like... He's worth $500 million just by being on it.
And like, to his own self. This guy worth hundreds of... This is, like, where I didn't get her argument. He's a business. Like, you had Joe the Plumber on your network. This guy is a businessman.
Literally, half of who come on Fox News as, like, commentators or, like, contributors are, like, some dude who had a movie in the 80s. And, like, nobody's heard of them in, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, Scott Baio.
But even, like, at a fundamental level, what I didn't get, like, you have these conservative people, free market, yada, yada. Here's a goddamn self-made American. You can't even recognize that because he disagrees with you. Like, he's the best example the American dream and, like, free market and all that bullshit that you claim to love. But, like, because of your weird prejudice, you can't, like, see past that, I guess. Like, because, like, his opinion does matter, because he's worth, that's what we do in America. We value the super rich people. We just elected one as president. Like, we've done it, and we've elected rich people before. So there's no reason not
I always love being lectured by the party who elected, like, a B-movie actor to be governor and then president, who had, like, no other background in anything. Just, but, you know, I always like being lectured about who is allowed and isn't allowed to have an opinion, you know, based on their credentials from that side of the aisle.
Yeah, so I think we all know why she did it. We won't race, but, like, no, she sported racism to get TV ratings. This isn't just because she's racist or whatever. She might not be racist, personally, but she did this to get ratings. It was a ratings, like, straight out of the Vince McMahon pump, right?
Like, you just pick on the most, and the Howard Stern.
Yeah.
That's an old radio. You just go and attack the biggest target you can, because if they mention you at all, your name gets out there 10 times what it was.
Yeah, which LeBron has not done.
If they don't mention you, then you get to go to your people going, see, they're scared of me.
No, and then you'll get pieces of that person. What are they going to say next? We love that. So I get it. I respect the move, but you picked the wrong person. You picked literally one who's calculated athlete. Like, LeBron is the most passive-aggressive, maybe, person.
You know, and you picked somebody where your audience has no power over. Like, if you mobilized every single Fox News viewer to stop watching the NBA, great. None of them watch the NBA already.
Like, maybe.
Like, 3%. Great. Like, you've done nothing. Like, you have no power over that.
The NBA I would say it's like 90% probably people who.
It is the most left-wing fan base of all the major sports.
Guys, like,
Ernie Johnson's like a case.
Yeah, just because he's rich. That's why he probably.
Wears a bow tie. There's never been a white guy who wore a bow tie.
Well, and too, Dan, like, you can't hurt his sponsorships because, like, they're mostly targeted to young people or black people, and those sponsors don't care what Fox News have to say. It's like they're not. That's not their target audience. Steph Curry, you probably could do, to be honest.
But no, because, like, Under Armour's so desperate market that they can't, even though the guy in charge.
But, like, would make at least, like, Under Armour to be bought by more, like, middle-aged white guys.
Well, that's them trying to get in on the whole, like, popular shoe thing has kind of been a disaster for them, because they, like, Under Armour, like, the core audience of Under Armour, like, that's who bought all their shit.
They kind of alienated them. Because, like, you have, like, football players. That's only, like, even count all the high school, not even a dent in the market. And then once Nike does something.
Well, Under Armour came up with a thing, and then Nike copied it, did a better version. And the only people who stayed loyal to Under Armour were, like, hunters.
Yeah. So, anyway, you went after the one, and, like, it's a commercial, I guess. Someone paid him to do that. Like, you called him dumb, but how dumb is he if he's making money?
Like, LeBron is such a more valuable person than anybody on fire, especially now that O'Reilly set his career on fire.
Like, what about
There's
Hannity?
Literally nobody on who is as valuable a media property as LeBron James. So, like, maybe go pick on somebody. Like, go after, it was successful for them. It was successful for them going after NFL players because they can actually turn their audience against the NFL and exert power.
They're never going to win. You're never going to go after baseball. No one in baseball.
the baseball players are all agreeing with you.
Yes. Well, except one.
Who's a vet, so nobody could say anything.
It was just, like, the worst league to go after your Fox News, because, like I said, Dan, no one in that NBA audience tends to vote that. No one in the NBA, like, even the owners aren't really that pro-Trump, know about it.
Well, no, the owners all are, they just know that they know they can't say anything, because it'll hurt them with their fan base.
Pro-Trump, but, like, the NFL owners weren't afraid to do that. But it's kind of show, like, to compare, like, what's happened with the NHL and where the NBA's at, right? Like, the NHL, you don't honor black history, make it about diversity or Europeans. You have Kid Rock play at your halftime. Then you have the issue with the, with the player getting taunted.
The one black dude in the NHL is constantly getting taunted and shit on by other players.
The All-Star Weekend, on Saturday, there was, like, a giant, like, woke, stupid-ass stage performance. There was a whole sit-down with Dwayne Wade and who else? And somebody else earlier today talking about, being inclusive and all that shit. Like, the NBA is just so much smarter about, like, where's this
open. Yeah. And this, it's not like, oh man, you just have to go with where, like, people who, like, wherever people in their 20s and 30s are, that's where you gotta, like, 18 to 35 has been the power demographic since the dawn of, like, television.
Yeah.
And nowadays you have people suddenly mad about that because they don't like the politics who tend to be 18 to 35. But it's just like, that's life. Like, culture is driven by the 18 to 35.
Yeah. Well, it
always has been and always will be.
That leads me to another argument. It's what's your name talk. Like, all these old people are so mad about how the world is. It's like, weren't you in charge when it went to shit? Like, you're getting mad at me. I'm 30. What the fuck did I do? I haven't done anything. Like, you're mad at kids. Who the fuck, right? You know? Like,
I love that when old people who have all had, like, four divorces want to bitch about how the kids today don't have the right values.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. When you were on your third man,
yeah.
But do you think maybe that had something?
More importantly, when like your generation was running this country or the world or whatever, you fucked up, man. And like now you just want to like blame someone else. You're pussies. Your baby boomer ass Gen X. But like the reality is, it sucked, and you've got to take this out on my generation who hasn't done shit. We're waiting for you to get the fuck out the way so we get a goddamn job that pays. But you fuckers can't retire because goddamn credit card.
Yeah, all of you.
All
none of you knew how to say. Well, this is the, like literally you. The silent generation, the big thing is they all lived in like smaller houses and they all saved because when they grew up during the Depression, they didn't have any. And so when they retired, they had like all this money they just sat on. And then the baby boomers are like, fuck that. I want stuff. And they spent every dollar. And now they're all retirement age. And they
went into debt to get that stuff and then complained that like other like the taxes. It's like, well, no, you just spent $100,000 on a boat. Like, that's on you, homie.
Nobody asked.
Shouldn't eat.
Yes.
You're bad at finance. Like,
my other favorite thing that, like liberals on, liberal boomers do, like, whenever, like, young, like, leftists on Twitter will shit on boomers. And they'll go, well, we stopped Vietnam and did the voter right and desegregated schools. What did you do? And it's, bitch, you were 10. You didn't do any of the stuff.
No, you elected Reagan and then, like, felt bad because you saw a black person in the 90s. Voted for Clinton, who was just as bad, and really.
Like, my favorite thing is, like, boomers loving, like, trying to take credit for, like, when you were 10. Like, when you were 3 years old, Brown v. Board of Education happened.
Yeah.
It was like, you had nothing to do with that. Like,
no, you didn't.
And then it's like, okay, now you're 60. You've been in control. Like, you've been the dominant political force in this country for 20 years now. And what do schools look like? And it's like, well, schools in, like, the state of New York are more segregated than at any point in America. Like,
yeah.
the school system today is more segregated than it's ever been.
Like, we're not just, like, shitting on conservatives. We're shitting on everyone. You're Republican, Democrat, whatever. And you're a baby boomer.
You have fucked up.
You fucked up bad, but that's the issue.
Like,
here.
Especially like baby boomer Democrats. Yeah. Like, I especially, like, they think they won something.
Yeah, and it's like, like, no, you lost. You got Clinton, and all he did was a Republican who wore blue. And then, like, you lost to Bush, which was amazing, twice.
Yeah, you let the FBI destroy labor.
Yeah, and then, like, we fondly think our generation, like, our first was probably, like, we elect a black guy haven't been forgetting for things.
The boomers have been mad ever since the black guy.
Can't have a black guy in church. That was their...
But,
and that was the dip. That wasn't even the Republican. That was the Hillary people that were, like, just about that.
Dude, they came up with birther... Like, the Clinton campaign came up
came
with
up
the birther.
They're the ones. The picture of Obama in the African garb.
Clinton, they're the ones who ran the ad. The Clinton ran the ad in West Virginia saying, are you sure you want a guy like this to have his finger on the button? And then they put a mushroom cloud up.
Yeah. So, like, and if you go back and look with the dog whistling and compare hers to McCain, hers was way more racist. And you know what? And black people, as we saw on Twitter with the fake black pants, black people keep receipt. And that's why you lost.
They remember.
Bitch.
We got off on, like, just shit on Hillary.
Yeah,
but
which is just going to work with, I think, the demographic complimenting. That's what we bring here.
We're Democrats who will shit on Hillary.
We will shit on Hillary Clinton. And we're what? Well, I think we're both very pro.
Yes.
I'm extremely pro-gun for the uprising.
Sure. Yeah. We got to arm ourselves.
Yeah.
So that we can kill white.
And you ever
try
to make a bomb?
Nah, I don't know how.
I don't know. I just thought you'd a big cannonball and you hit it with a back.
Yeah, I thought it was like you have, like, a big black cylinder with, like, one string coming out of it, and you just light that string and it says bomb on the side.
Yeah. But Dan, let's switch to one more thing before we get out of here.
Well, this is one thing that boomers are also...
Is that college football attendance?
Yeah, I gotta preach on it. Because boomers are all mad that the millennials have killed college football attendance. And this gets back to other things boomers ruined as soon as they got in charge because they thought they knew better than every generation who came before them.
Yeah.
But...
Like the ones
big,
who actually won wars. Remember
yeah,
boomers,
the ones who beat the Nazis. But they know better.
Boomer, how many wars have...
They literally lost them all.
They didn't win Korea. They lost Vietnam.
Yeah, that's a stalemate. They lost Vietnam.
Way, right?
Yeah, so, that was all Gen X soldiers. It was organized by baby boomers, and it caused... But the Persian Gulf War caused...
So anyway, yeah. It's been a great addition.
The thing with this year, the big headline was that college football attendance was down the lowest. And, you know, this is followed by headlines that colleges around the country are cutting back on seats because they never come close to selling them. And, you know, everybody's trying to go, oh, man, these dumb millennials, they just don't care about about having a communal experience. That's the baby boom, is that, oh, millennials just don't care about anything. But look at what's happened over the last 15 years.
Because literally one of the defining characteristics is, like, we tend to be more community-based of how we were raised in day camps. that's just funny to me, because, like, actually, the stats should be way more community-based. But go ahead, Dan.
Well, see, look at what colleges have done in the last 2 years. Ever since the revenue started through the roof in college football, what have they done? They've redesigned stadiums to add seats that nobody can that are terrible views, just so that they can have more seats.
Yeah.
In some cases, just because some old dude donated to them so that they could have more seats than whatever the state rival is. So it's like if NC State adds like 15 seats, UNC has to then add 15 seats.
Yeah,
they can't like. This obsessive, like, keeping up with the Joneses because...
Really what it breaks down to is we have 1,000 more.
Yes, because, like, those seats are terrible.
And no one has the money. Even, like, the guys, the rich-ass baby are, like we said earlier, in not that great financial situation. They don't necessarily even have the money to buy.
Well, there's also the thing is that you can, like, in a live events, it can never be built around old people because the old, like, people get old and it's just like, I can't travel anymore.
Yeah, like, Dan, I'll say, my dad's a UGA season. He used to go to every game. As he's gotten older, he's gotten way more. He still buys it to whatever, but he doesn't go to every game.
Old people get to a certain age and they're just like, I just don't
tired. Yeah, it's just
they're tired.
Physically, that's not a personal, you can't. It's not their fault.
So, but the way college football or in college athletics has been structured is, oh, the old people will pay for this? Well, then let's do it without any thought to, okay, when this generation gets old, like, what are you going to do? There's just this basic economic reality that, you know, millennials make less money at their age than other generations did because the economy went to shit right as most millennials hit, you know, earning age.
And so, you still have boomers in front of them.
Most of the millennial generation is behind their parents and their grandparents' generation as far as where their income. So as they start moving up into that, like, early 30, where you would expect them to start buying more season ticket, as the boomers all start aging out, these people just don't have the income to be spending on that.
No, because of the issue, like, you have the boomers kind of clogging the position to move up. So, like, when a 32-year-old maybe used to make, let's say, a college graduate, you know, 32-year-old used to make maybe, you know, $150,000. Now he's making nine. After everything's said and done.
But here's the other biggest, is that for 15 years, colleges have sold the college kids' experience down the river so they could make more money from the donors and the alumni, the older alumni. And they've said, all right, let's make the student section smaller. Let's put them in worse seats. Let's charge them more. You know,
let's make it harder
every
for
college
them to give their take their friend.
Yeah.
That's
it
too.
Used to be like
something supposed to be
right. Like, why do you get like if a student if your students like give a ticket to a friend who maybe went to a different college and is coming to if there's a butt in the seat, who gives a shit? Like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, and like oh, they're root for their
but
cares?
It's like
they're
like
right
trying to draw as much revenue for this 1 year as possible. What it's done is alienated like a generation of college kids. And this isn't all millennials, Gen Xers, who just did not have the same college experience of like getting to enjoy the tailgates. So many colleges have made the tailgates impossible. You know, they're anal about watching for alcohol. They won't, you know, they make you, especially if you're a woman, they won't let you take a bag in. You know, they're terrified somebody's going to show up and,
yeah, which,
I don't
how
know,
many,
knife
is there
everybody.
Is your college football program like that?
I mean, if it has, I ain't about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think the worst one stabbed. Maybe that might be something like being stabbed with a broken beer bottle. Dan, here's another issue. Like, even if you look at, like, the University of Georgia, these colleges are a lot harder to get to now than they were. So you're getting a base of students who may not have time to watch. They got to keep their grades. I think that's another thing, too. And you're getting kids who, you know, maybe don't like sports as much. Maybe they're more in academic. And you have a lot
there's
of people
that.
Who maybe, I think you have a lot of people, too, like, could coast into a big SEC school with a 2.5 GPA. can't really get into Georgia. You got to be like a 3.8.
But I think it comes down to more like, I don't think 20, 30 years ago, all the people to Georgia were like super into football and now they're not. I think it was that going to college games to be a shit ton of fun.
No, I think that, a lot of it too, a lot of those people can't get to go to
even nerds, it was fun to go, they'd go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, the other thing was experience the next year. Like, I mean, most college
It's not even just trying to tailor. It's just they've gone out of their way to make it worse.
Yeah.
Like, to just take any kind of, like, oh, don't do that. Oh, don't do that. Oh, don't do that. And so what they've done is they've made it much more comfortable. If you're an adult, if you're like a person in their 40s or 50s, you don't have to deal with drunk college kids. But the reason why you are there is because you used to be a drunk college kid. And you keep going back to the old campus to like relive a little memory.
Yeah,
so and maybe you're not though, as wild just, as you used to
yeah,
be.
And really, you just end up more like, miserable. Because I bet even those older people buying tickets. Whereas you miss that youthful energy.
It's just the way college athletics has worked, the way they've made money is you tailor it to let the college kids enjoy themselves when they're in college, and they create memories that last the rest of their life. And then once they get out of college and start making money, they then come back and pay exorbitant fees to get to relive, you know, once a week. They get to be like, oh man, remember how it was in college when we and blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
and then they meet up with their old fraternity. Or their old buddies from college.
Passing generations. And that's something boomers being a little more selfish aren't as excited about, say, maybe.
Yeah, but when you make the experience worse and terrible for the current generation, you know, they've been doing this for like 10, 15, 20 years now.
Yeah.
Then you don't build those memories for those students to then want to come back. And then when something happens, like TVs get really good, suddenly it's like, well, why do I want to bother with this? I'm just going to have to go there.
I'm not going to be able to use my phone.
I'm not going to be able to use my phone. I'm going to have to be strip searched when I come into the building. I can't even buy a beer. Like, why am I bothering?
Yeah. Well, Dan, if you're a kid now, you're 20, let's say you're 20, wouldn't you rather kind of stay at even the tailgate? No, you can watch cable TV from an RV now, like pretty easily, or from your phone or your tablet. So wouldn't you rather just kind of sit outside, not be packed in with sardines, to be able to use your phone? Just like, I'd rather stay at the tailgate if I was a college kid. Why do I want to go in there? So I can get hungover?
Well, see, no, because they made the tailgate shitty, because it's like, oh God, we have to fear that somebody is drunk and passes out and dies. That's terrible. That's life. People sometimes drink too much.
And you know how you prevent that thing too? Just have free water everywhere.
Heaven forbid you do that. But it's just like,
why are you set up? Say, you know, this one's sick. Take care of free. We don't care how old you are. No questions asked. No, it's not that hard. This is another thing where maybe lawyers. Sorry, Mike.
Well, it's not just lawyers. It's just people who have come in. This has happened in colleges all across the board, not just the athletic. But it's people who've gotten in charge of colleges who, like, their primary way of thinking is, how can we make money?
Yeah.
Instead of, this is a college.
This is
and
more.
And there's, like, certain aspects about it that are not necessarily having anything to do with
making money.
This is more
of a communal thing. And if we have to sacrifice some of this so our AD can make $600,000 instead of $400,000, then fuck it. Let him go. That's probably how it used to be. Now you're like so scared of losing your AD. Pay him all that. It probably just ain't worth it.
It's just everything about it has become, let's try to get as much money out of this thing as possible. And then they're shocked when they haven't created that next generation of people with warm and fuzzy memories. Like, I went to like 3 NC State football games when I went to college. It's miserable. You had to wait in line for like 2 hours just to get into the stadium as they like grabbed your dick to make sure you didn't have a flask on. Like, so you never got to see the game when the kickoff started. They gave you shitty, they didn't really have a dedicated student section. They just moved you to wherever they didn't sell the seat. So instead of having like a dedicated student section where all of us are together, like having fun,
yeah, like maybe next
they've
week.
Got you mixed around the stadium,
yeah,
basically, well, wherever they didn't
Dan,
sell
like,
a ticket.
If the big, like you look at, like, your Michigan's, Auburn, Georgia, whatever, usually that student section is always right by. They both play a good fit to put them next. That's really why the band is. People forget that too. But yeah, a whole lot of other, and some, you know, this is part of it. A lot of these stadiums are like 100 years old now. They just kind of suck. I understand the historical thing, and but like, people's butts are bigger. You know?
Which is another reason, like, yeah, pull about 20,000 seats out, spread them out, make it easier to sit there. And, like, You know, and do something about the Wi-Fi. Just let people have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, like, there's no reason my phone should be dead if it's working overtime. That's, and, like, the other thing, too, like, you don't have, like, mini charges. Like, little things help. Like, little band-aids you can put over some of these cuts and something. Like, why do you not have, like, a dedicated charge around those? Why weren't those put in 10 years ago? It's not like cell phones are new anymore.
I mean, it's like, instead of spending, like, a couple million dollars to build, like, a new department where you put in, like, a gold television in front of, like, the lockers. Like, make the stadium a little bit nicer to watch the game at.
Yeah.
How about that?
So, yeah, I think you see college football, like, I don't really know how you fix it. I think it is probably taking a solution. You know, you charge people, are going to pay a little bit more. They'll pay it. Or they don't. That's where you're at.
Well, I think in general what's starting to happen a little bit is that we're starting to see, like, a backlash against this, like, CEO-ification of athletic departments. And if that continues to happen, because most of it's just fucked up because some guy thinks he's running a Fortune 500.
When he's not, because it's not that important to be, you know, a company to college. And, like, B, it's just supposed to be, like, more of a communal thing than, like, a business. It's a fucking goddamn college. It's not there to make money. Sorry. I hate autos. Not everything has to be capitalist or so, like...
Some things are just public goods.
Yeah. They're and not... that's fine. Still have your free market. We don't need... You know what I mean, man? Like,
not everything is made better by free market.
No, not everything, you know, not... You know, like, there are issues where capitalism does make... But simply the college's approach, it's stupid to have dogma like that, you know, where it has to be this. Well, no, run up whichever way.
And speaking of, like, fucked up attack, because we're recording this on a Sunday, I had to preach on this.
Yeah, let's talk this week.
This week was the Daytona 500.
I didn't even know, Dan. I knew, but it's always an all-star deal.
I didn't know it was always on All-Star Week.
Still presidents.
I mean, maybe. I'm not sure. I just know that this is the Daytona 500 that I used to always pay attention at least to, like, the twin 125s. I don't even know if they still call them that. Because, like, Daytona always used to have, like, this qualifying of, like, races just to get into the race.
Yeah.
And it was always, like, a big deal. But now it's just not because nothing matters. A certain wrestling journalist who loves to shit all over his reputation these days. Who's, like, on, like, a one-man crusade to prove the owner of this website was smart and right all along.
Well, he was right.
But he's, like, going out of his way to, like, it's like he's in cahoots. Like, wait, yeah, wait Michael's right.
Listeners to go just like, that's a deep cut reference. To Mr. But, like, I can't do a good job.
But, you know, a certain wrestling has made a dumbass of himself a lot lately. Mm-hmm. But specifically, you know, today I saw on Twitter one of his idiot fans asked him what's bigger, NASCAR or WWE, and this moron said NASCAR because they legitimately sold out 100,000 to do big ratings on primetime. And what he neglected to point out
was A, it was primetime.
Well, yeah, it was in the middle of the day. Yeah,
but on a Sunday.
NASCAR never does good ratings anymore. They used to do good ratings for Bristol. That doesn't do. But, you know, NASCAR, the Daytona 500. Yeah, it sold out 100,000. You know how many they took out so they could sell that out? Almost 50,000. The Daytona 500 10 years ago was selling out 150,000. It's done so poorly over the last 5 years, just said fuck it and pulled 50 out so they wouldn't have all these empties for the biggest race
why,
of the year.
And why is that, really? I think we talked about it already, kind of too much of trying to go national NASCAR.
So
instead of... maybe not trying to go, but not keeping their base, not understanding their base.
I mean, on a very, very basic level, it's the fail son disease that has affected so much of everything.
Yeah.
Like, the sport was built by Bill Sr. and then Bill French, and then Bill French Jr. died and handed it over to his son and daughter, and, you know, they're morons. Who have completely screwed up everything.
Like, it's usually with the third one.
Yes. The first generation makes it, the second generation takes it to new levels, and then the third generation. But that's sort of what's happening with NASCAR. But on a very basic, they had a very big popular fad, and then they were introduced to a whole country. The stars of the 90s were introduced to the whole country. And they started just building tracks in all kinds of far-flung places. A lot of those tracks drew the first time they went to those races. And they got, you know, they told themselves, oh, man, we're going to be big all over the country now. You know, we're going to be big in Las Vegas. We're going to be big in Dallas. We're going to be big in this place or that. And they started closing tracks. You know, they started taking races away from classic tracks and then closing. It's like Rockingham. You know, I'm in central North Carolina. Rockingham's about an hour. Rockingham used to have two races. Now it didn't have any.
Yeah, Rockingham like that always sold out. Right? Would turn into a bigger size North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the thing about Rockingham is nobody lives there, but it's close to it. Like, it's like an hour from Charlotte, 2 hours from Greensboro.
But it was like, you know, it was like the College Station or whatever in Penn State where it becomes a bigger city. All the day, like, was it like 90,000, you were saying earlier?
Yeah, it was like 90, it was like 100, you know, 120,000 people
in the middle of nowhere doing, like, that's a good...
Yeah, and it was consistent. It always drew. Like, some years it might be better than other years, but you never had to worry about, oh man, this track gonna do well. It just always drew well. But they had to get rid of it so they could be in a bigger market. We got to be in Chicago. 12 people show up to the races in Chicago because nobody gives a damn about NASCAR in Chicago.
Yeah. And but, the people that did probably would have wanted to travel to, say, Bristol. Like,
yeah.
The smarter NASCAR thing probably would have come down. So. Like, if you're a Yankee in Chicago, well, come down here. We're not going to come. That probably would have been a... But like, so it's just, I think they tried to go into Texas, they've never...
I mean, when they went to... The Dallas track got built at, like, the height of the NASCAR bubble. And they couldn't sell out the first year.
And that's in the that's in the South. So that tells you that really the region's like more of a Southeast thing for now.
It is the Southeast because you have a combination of the states don't really have a huge like college football in some of like North Carolina especially. North Carolina and South Carolina like don't really have like
historically big time. You didn't. You know, South Carolina was nothing.
It's like states that had these huge bootleg cultures where, you know, everybody just modified up your car.
Well, but then they also, like, wasn't there, like, a one race here?
Well,
like,
it's always done well in California, weirdly enough. Yeah, because it's huge. And, like, there's rural parts of California.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, they had their niches.
And Pocono. Pocono and Pennsylvania. Like, Pocono has always done, I think Pocono's, like, Delaware or Pennsylvania, but it's always done well.
Yeah, well, Delaware, like, that's basically.
Dover. Dover, Delaware has always done well in Pocono, rural, like basically Penn State country. Yeah. And it's always, but you know, there's, it's not like only the Southeast is where they draw, but they have intentionally tried to go to all these different markets where nobody has ever shown any signs. Yeah,
maybe my point more, they had their niche in these different places where they drew well, maybe in the Southeast, they drew well in these different spots, but they went for the big, they were swung for the Chicago, Dallas, etc. And that's really what hurt.
Yeah. And they basically, like, if you're a wrestling fan, like, they did what the same thing, like, a company, NASCAR's based out of Charlotte, just like Jim Crockett Promotions did 30 years ago. They decided they, you know, wasn't good enough to Greensboro, even though Greensboro, you know, drew 30,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, that's not good enough. We've got to go to Chicago. We got to go to L.A. We got to go to Las Vegas. Didn't draw shit there, and then they lost Greensboro. Like, you can't. You can't tell people, especially around here, you know, hey, you're not good enough for us, and then expect them to come back.
Yeah, especially with something that was like theirs first. That's more of a betrayal than say it's NASCAR was their baby. That's like your son.
Yeah, it's like if your son told you, "I don't need you, Dad. I don't need your money. Yeah, I don't need anything about you. I'm a big smart college
NASCAR,
boy now."
Like especially like in the Carolina, like that was y'all's thing.
It was NASCAR and pro wrestling, and both of the companies like, decided they didn't need us, and then, well,
too,
look what happened.
Too big for them. And it looks like it's the death of one company, and it might not be that far away from NASCAR.
You know, and when you look at NASCAR, what's happened to NASCAR on a basic level, the grassroots of the sport's been ruined because it costs so much money to get going in NASCAR that, like, working class people can't, like, there used to be this huge, like, independent stock car scene where people would, you know, where they'd drive at these small short tracks. You know, that's how you would get started. And then you would sort of work your way up, getting on a better team, you know, getting noticed by, you know, a high powered owner and then maybe get a ride someday.
Yeah, like, well, that doesn't. Yeah, the story is the local boy from Dover. You sell tickets, basically.
But that doesn't happen anymore because to get going in stock car racing, when you get started, you basically have to have, like, a really wealthy parent who can pay for you to have the kind of equipment and the access to the kind of rides for you to ever, you know, or else you just have no chance of winning the kind of races as a 17, 16-year-old that would get you noticed.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no more, like, working-class people driving and then working their way up and being, like, the kind of working-class fans would identify with. It's all a bunch of, like, rich boys from California, you know, who, like, the average NASCAR fan goes, "I don't give a damn about this pretty boy."
Yeah.
That's an issue. Two, the cars have gotten so expensive, so there's very few compete. And not only have the cars gotten more expensive, but they've gotten more homogenized. So basically all the cars look the same. So if you're a Ford fan, like you don't, that used to be a big part of the NASCAR fan base is I love Fords or I love Chevys or I love Pontiacs or I love Plymouths.
And like they look, they had like a distinctly kind of different look.
I mean, all the cars look different. Yeah. Like if it was a Ford, like the Ford car, it didn't look, I mean, obviously it didn't look like what you drive off the deal, but it looked kind of like it. Like it looked somewhat like it. Now they like those cars don't look anything like you'd find on a dealer's lot. And so there's just not that connection of, you know, I buy Ford. I want to see the Fords go out there because, I mean, they're all basically driving the same car with a.
Well, can I also make another, you know what else I think kind of hurt NASCAR? When you choose to have your championship sponsor, the Winston, right? Once you have to kind of change the name, you lose name. Like it or not, you lose name. The Super Bowl changed its name. It wouldn't be as big of a deal now. They had to change their name and say the eight. It would have hurt your branding a little, you know?
And the funny thing is I don't know how many people realized that Winston Cup was named after Winston.
Yeah.
Because it was that way for so many
Winston's
years.
Winston's not even a big name. Like, people know Marlboro, Camel, Parliament. Not a, yeah. Only, like, smokers.
Well, all of us in beautiful Winston-Salem knew, sir. And Team LeBron is one star
game. Ah, I'm the last shot.
Look, I couldn't really tell. I looked up and saw a guy, like, throwing up a shot that had no shot. But yeah, like, you know, the issues with the sponsorship of the main series. I mean, that tells the tale about how far NASCAR's fallen. That, you know, it's now being sponsored by, like, that paid, like, a tenth
is
of
that,
what their former sponsor paid.
So. I guess, like, Nextel's not.
Well, Nextel paid all that money to get it, and then Nextel got bought out by Sprint. Sprint had to continue to pay, you know, because they bought Nextel, they were obligated to continue paying that money that Nextel had obligated to. But once the contract ended, Sprint was like, yeah, we're not doing this.
Yeah, and like if your biggest, what should be your biggest sponsor is the Aztecs. It's kind of hard to you know, make.
And then you ended up, you know, with, you know, I think it's like Monster Energy Drink.
And like, which is, it's not even like Red Bull. It at least has like a nice kind of. You know what I mean? Like, Bull's not like the, it's a little more accepted. Like, Monster's for like Red. Everyone. Like,
and they're
like
not
that.
Even paying them, though. They're not even paying them. Like, they're paying them a tenth of. Like, it's not even like, hey, they might be a low dollar, so they paid us. They didn't even pay them a shit. And like, the Daytona
like,
500.
Next, like, that being the sponsor, this trophy was sponsored by like something you would just see. Like, Barry. Is that unfair? Because you're a big Arizona City fan. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm always weirded out by people who quote unquote live in the South, like Georgia, who don't know what good sweet tea tastes like.
I don't
or,
like sweet
whatever.
Tea.
People in Atlanta don't. I never understood it.
Like
y'all's tea sucks for one. I've never had good tea any place in it.
Well, probably because black people.
I mean,
because they put like a literally like half a like you don't get diabetes.
I mean, I don't see the problem.
Can't
lose
Kevin Love.
And he gave him great moral support.
He's out there. This J. Crew. Oh. But yeah, so do you think NASCAR survives?
Look, here's the thing about NASCAR. Like, that certain wrestling journalist loves to talk about how, well, if the TV bubble pops, WWE's in a lot of trouble. If the TV bubble ever pops, NASCAR's dead. Because nobody goes to the, like, they don't make money off the game, off the tracks. They're barely making any money off the seats, and the attendance keeps getting worse. Like, people talk about WWE's attendance. WWE's attendance is like this steady and then slight downward. Like, it goes slightly down, but it's not in free fall. NASCAR's attendance has been in absolute free fall for about a decade. And every year it gets worse. To the point where, like, Bristol and the Daytona 500, those used to be the two the biggest money-making tracks. Because Daytona's obviously the biggest race in the sport. And Bristol was the most popular race in the sport. Like, you used to have to be on like a 5-year waiting list to Bristol. Bristol's removed seats because nobody wants to go anymore. When you're like, that's like if WWE didn't sell tickets to WrestleMania. Like if WrestleMania
or SummerSlam, you know, Daytona 500.
Like if you know if WrestleMania or the Royal Rumble had to give away like a third of that would be the position. That would be the equivalent of where WWE is compared to NASCAR. And you know, but NASCAR is making way more money than WWE off TV revenue because you know WWE gets fucked by advertisers. But if
which
if
is weird, the TV revenue. Like, do you really think the typical NASCAR pay?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's always funny to me. But
yeah,
if anything ever happens to TV money and it starts going down,
which I think it will, I'm still not so far as the sport for TV. Seems to me like always been a better live event.
I mean, it's just one of those, and they keep doing weird stuff. To me, I think NASCAR's also got this thing where they're constantly like changing the rules of like the races.
Yeah,
which is extremely weird to always be changing your rules constantly. It's like if the NFL had, like this year the Super Bowl was down in rating by 8%. Well, what if next year the NFL came out and they said, all right, now after a touchdown, you know, you can throw a Hail Mary from the 50 and get an extra 3 points. It'd be like, well, wait a minute. That's weird. Like, that's really Bush League and strange. But that's the things that NASCAR does. They're constantly, like, tinkering with the basics of the sport and looking Bush League in the process.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just... nobody knows how you win a championship in NASCAR, because every year they change the way you win a title. Every year they change their playoff system, which has been a colossal fail. They change they'll add like these fake caution flags to bunch the field back up so the races will be more exciting at the end. I don't know. I would say NASCAR has a...
Especially because, I mean they're probably the sport that you could say probably benefited the most, TV rights. Bubble started.
Yes,
and that bubble.
There's no entity praying more for Amazon to start throwing around NASCAR.
Well, that's the other issue with NASCAR. Dan, before we get out here, I want to mention not much of an online presence. They haven't embraced the internet maybe as well as say baseball. Low key maybe saved it. We can talk about that. But yeah,
NASCAR's just hoping that like Amazon steals like baseball from ESPN. And then, you know, ESPN, like, signs them to a big deal to, like, fill time.
Time, yeah. But, like, you look on, like, there's not a ton of NASCAR blogs. You don't see much of it on Twitter. You think that's a sport that would lend itself to be a better, because it's so personal.
They might be a Facebook. Don't go to those places.
I just don't know. But you don't see, like, you know, you think there would be, you know, if there was revenue there, someone would tip it out on the internet. Pretty scary. Like, I get, like, no internet presence, 07, whatever, like, everyone. The fucking Olympics, too. They're the stingiest thing you can be. So, I don't know. NASCAR looks like the savior. What, they're in their two big saviors to draw in the minority markets, what, flamed out horribly. Danica Patrick wrecks in her final NASCAR race today. Juan Pablo Alberto didn't do so.
Hey, they got a big black star now.
Oh, do they?
Bubba Wallace just second today.
Hell yeah, they got a black guy named Bubba Wallace.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I might start.
He's driving Richard Petty's.
Hell yeah, and he's just like is he a big fan to wear overall?
I have not.
I like that.
I mean, the thing is, the finish of the Daytona 500 was pretty exciting. They had a caution flag like almost at the end of the race, so they ran like two laps. You know, basically like overtime. They ran like two laps there. Denny Hamlin had the fastest car all day, but Bubba Wallace had a real fast car there at the end, and he just sort of pushed. He just sort of pushed the Childress kid, Austin Dillon.
One more question. Is Mark Martin still driving the WCW?
I don't think he ever did. I believe you're thinking of Steve Grissom.
Is that who? Well, he's on the... Oh.
You're thinking of Steve Grissom.
But he was on the sponsored Pennzoil thing, right? The Pennzoil Motor Sport. But they always had Mark Martin.
Well, Mark Martin drove Valvoline.
It was Valvoline. They always had Mark Martin on like WCW.
But it was Steve Grissom who drove the... short-lived WCW car.
The WCW car played out after
some time. Yeah, and poor Steve Grissom was the guy who had to follow Rusty Wallace. You know, when Rusty Wallace left to go run for Penske. So, poor guy. Never really had a chance.
And he had to stuck with the W... Or the NWO car. He defected him.
Sure. Him and Paul Gilmartin of Dinner and a Movie fame both turned heel and joined the NWO, I think, on the same show.
Yeah. I think the bigger issue NASCAR, Dan, is Sparky Plug Bob Holly.
He could have been the big star.
Could have been what they need. But I think he also is a guy who, like...
I do remember when NASCAR was so popular that, like, that football coach quit the NFL to go... quit coaching the Falcons so he could go drive NASCAR.
When was that?
That was like the 90s. He was the head coach.
Jerry Glanville?
It was Jerry Glanville went to go coach and drove NASCAR.
I didn't know Jerry.
I think it was the... I don't know what they call it now. It used to be called the Bush Series.
Yeah.
But it was like the D-League of NASCAR. The engines are smaller.
Yeah,
and they used to race on Saturday.
My God, there you go. The Automobile Racing America.
Oh, ARCA. Yeah, ARCA. That's like the independent.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really even NASCAR.
That's
like,
the CFL.
It used to be like you would get noticed racing on ARCA, in ARCA. And then, like, a lot of the owners who owned, you know, Winston Cup teams also owned a Busch Series team. They would notice you on ARCA and then give you a ride on the Busch Series.
So
if
it was
you
like,
did well there,
like
then
the
they
ROA.
Yeah.
Keep our
yeah.
wrestling embarrassing.
Like, and the Busch Series was... So if you did well in ROH, they'd sign the ST. And then if you did well there, then they'd bump you up to the big show, WrestleMania.
Man, that was way more NASCAR.
Well, I mean, that's going to be it for the year.
Yeah. So about 30 minutes.
This will be the last time you hear about NASCAR unless when Bristol comes, there's 12 people there. And then I'll lose my mind about that.
This was the power almost out.
Yes. Well, we had to make it up. The show's late this week. We're sorry. But again.
I kind of like the idea. We don't miss out. Nothing breaks them.
Yeah. But, you know, the deal is, we normally have the show on Fridays for y'all, but I was, here's an extra long show.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Here you go. Bonus size. Sin Limite. Did they copyright that?
I don't even, I mean, they haven't done Wonders now.
Yeah,
because, you know, like everything else on that website,
but that,
they do a thing people enjoy and they get rid of it. Because
put that in the Power Hour system.
Heaven forbid you continue doing things that you're paying customers like. Yeah. Just get rid of that and let it, you know.
Well, if you pay us, hey, new offer here, be $30 a month, do a video feed.
Jerking our PUDs or whatever.
Video. Was that Arnold Schwarzenegger? LeBron. All right, well, that's it for me this week. That's it from Dan. Fuck the Queen. Fuck the Nation of Australia. And fuck what's her name.
And fuck what's her name. Yeah, fuck her. Fuck that, bro.
Fuck her.
Play the music, Jake.